The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. Lord, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name. And Father, we humbly, Father, ask you tonight to pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord, that we might experience, Father, here tonight, your presence as we look into the Word of God. Father, I pray again, Lord, that you might help us, Lord, tonight, not just to have come tonight to hear the Word of God, not to just come to another church service, but we've come here tonight to be changed by the Word of God, and Lord, that we might be more like Christ. Father, I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts and break our hearts afresh. Oh, Lord, I pray you'd break our hearts afresh in our relationship with you, and Father, we would experience a broken heart, Lord, in our relationships with each other. Lord, I don't know the condition of every family relationship in here tonight, but you do. You know the need of every heart tonight. Father, some need encouragement. Some may need to ask forgiveness. Some may need to confess sin. Some may need reconciliation. Lord, it may be some here tonight, Lord, that need to call upon the name of Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, if that be the case, I pray tonight that they might accept Christ as Savior. And Father, we dedicate this time to you, and we want to thank you, Lord, in advance for all that you're going to do here tonight. We pray, we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Okay. Honor thy father and thy mother. D.L. Moody, great preacher of the Word of God. I was reading a book by him, a biography by him, some years ago, and great preacher of the Word of God, great teacher of the things of God, and he made this statement. It kind of, when I read it, it kind of jumped off the page at me when I read it. He said this. He said, I've lived 60 years, and I've learned one important thing in life. That no man or no woman or no young person who dishonors their father or mother will ever prosper in life. Here's a great man of God, a great teacher of the Word of God, a great preacher of the Word of God. I'm sure he pastored hundreds and hundreds of families, counseled many, many families, and at 60 years of age, he said, I've learned one very, very important thing, that no man or woman, a young person who dishonors their father or mother will ever prosper in life. And I found the same to be true in my experience also. That is, if you show me a man, you show me a woman, you show me a child who dishonors their parents, and I'll show you someone who has poverty of peace, poverty of joy, and many times even poverty of possessions. But you show me someone who obeys this command. You show me someone that even though they might not have prosperity as the world views prosperity, they will have a joy and they have a peace in their heart that you'll never have without obeying this command to give honor to your father and to your mother. Now we're looking at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. And Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 is a transitional verse. That is, the first five commands deal with our relationship vertically of man to God. And then we come down to this command of giving honor to your father and mother, and we see that the last five deal with our horizontal relationships of man to man. I don't believe it's any accident that God puts this command to honor your father and mother as the very first command, and us understanding how that we are to live horizontally as brothers and sisters in Christ. As man to man, God wants us to understand that we will learn to give no greater honor to a holy God than we learn to give honor to our own father and our own mother. I remember years ago, I was down near Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we were going to do a marriage conference outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee at a little place called the Cahuddle Lodge. And I remember we were driving up to the Cahuddle Lodge and we were several hours early. And we passed something on the right that I hoped that my wife would not notice. You say, what was that, preacher? It was a little crafts village. I try not to notice those places, but Debbie seems to notice them. And I knew the question was coming when we got up to the room, when we got up to check in and got in a hotel, and it did. She was going to ask me if we could go down and look in the Crafts Village. We had several hours, and sure enough, she did. She said, "Sam, can we go down and look in the Crafts Village?" I thought a little retail therapy won't hurt her. When we came back, I thought, man, she must have been in intensive care. I don't know, but I'll never forget this little Crafts Village. Because we pulled up in front of the very first store, and as I got out of my car, this woman came out of the front of the store, and she began to ask me all these different questions. Who are you? Where are you from? Why are you here? I mean, she was about the most nosy woman I ever met. And then she proceeded to come down off the front porch of her steps, and she circled my car, and she stood behind my car and pointed to her front porch, and she said, "Preacher," she said, "if you'll notice, I collect license plates." And then she looked at my car, standing behind my car, and said, "Preacher, I don't have a North Carolina license plate." I thought, "You're not going to get a North Carolina license plate." I thought maybe she had a screwdriver in her pocket, was going to take it off or something. But then she began to ask us all these other questions, and finally she looked at my wife, and she asked her this question. She said, "Does he practice what he preaches?" I thought, my soul, I've heard enough. We just need to go back up to the lodge. But you know, I was reminded that day of something very important. That people don't care so much about who you say you are as they do who you are. Now, I don't know about in California, but I know in the South where I live in Tennessee, about everybody says they're a Christian. But very few people actually in their life, if you observe them, live a life that looks like a Christian. And let me stop and say here tonight, I think it's very, very important to understand that you may fake your Christianity when you come to church. And you may can fake your Christianity when you go out in public, but there's one place you cannot fake your Christianity, and that's in your home. Listen to me, sir. Your wife knows how much you love the Lord. She knows how much you read the Bible. She knows your prayer life. She knows how much you love Jesus Christ. Listen to me, ma'am. Your husband knows how much you love the Lord. He knows what your passion and your thirst and hunger for God is. He lives with you. And listen to me, mom and dad. You might think you can fake your children out, but you can't. They look at your life and they see what's most important in your life. They see whether Jesus is number one in your life, or they see whether television or something else is number one in your life, and they can see it very, very quickly. Listen, you may fake other people out, but you can't fake out your children. And listen, kids, you might try to fake out your parents with your Christianity, but they know you. They know your life. They know how you live. The hardest place, listen to me, folks, the hardest place to live out your Christianity is in your home. And it starts right here. It starts right here with giving honor to your father and to your mother. This word honor, you say, "Preacher, what does the word honor mean anyway?" The word honor means to esteem someone in a high position in your life, to count them as a priceless treasure unto yourself. For example, if I had the money and I could go down to a Thomas Kincaid art gallery, and I could purchase one of these beautiful Thomas Kincaid paintings that maybe cost $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. If I had the money to do that and I brought it into my house, I wouldn't put it in the back bedroom. I wouldn't put it in the bathroom. I'd put it in the living room where everyone could see that painting because it has great value to me. I esteem it in a very high position in my life. In the same way, God is saying here that we are to esteem our parents in a very high position in our life. We're to count them as a priceless treasure unto myself. Now, let me just stop right here before I go any further in this message, because some of you here tonight, some of you adults may be thinking here tonight, "Preacher, you know, this is going to be a good message. We've got all the kids here, all the teenagers here. This is a good message for the kids. I'm glad you're preaching this. But this doesn't really apply to me." But I want to ask you tonight not to tune me out, because the Bible doesn't say, listen, the Bible doesn't say to honor your parents until you're 16 years old. The Bible doesn't say honor your parents until you're 20 years old. The Bible doesn't say honor your parents until you're 40 years old. The Bible says honor your parents. I believe that's until you die. And I have found in my counseling and dealing with many families that there are many adults who have as much more problem with giving honor to their parents than even the children do. And because of that, it causes problems in their home with their children even giving honor back to them. So please don't tune me out here tonight. This is a very, very serious, important subject I'm talking about here tonight in the Word of God. As I began to think on this, as I began to meditate on this, I thought to myself, how is it? How does God want us to give honor? What does that look like in our life? To give honor to our father and to our mother. And I want to share with you several things that God showed me that I believe that we can do to give honor to our father and our mother. I believe, firstly, you honor your father and mother, you honor your parents by the life that you live. By the life that you live. You see, tonight you're either honoring or you're dishonoring your father and mother by the life that you're living. You're either living a life that's pleasing and honoring to God, or you're living a life that's displeasing and dishonoring to God. If my four sons were here tonight, and they were sitting on this pew right here, my oldest, Joshua, Daniel, Adam, and Philip, and they would look up to me and say, Dad, what is the greatest way that I can give honor to you? Dad, what is the greatest way I can give honor to Mom? I'd say, Josh, Daniel, Adam, Philip, the greatest way you can honor your father, the greatest way you can honor your mother is by living a life that's honoring and pleasing to God. And if you live a life that's honoring and pleasing to God, then you're living a life that's honoring and pleasing to your father and to your mother. Let me maybe shock some of you a little bit into reality here tonight in regard to this thing called sin. Because I really believe we're in a society, even in the church today, where we tend to categorize sin. I believe we could say if I had a scale here tonight where that on this hand, my right hand represented zero, and this hand represented the number 10, 10 being the worst sin, and I were to mention certain sins here tonight, that we would tend to put them on that scale, zero being not so bad, 10 being really bad. For example, if I were to mention the sin of abortion, you say, Preacher, that's a tragedy in America. Millions of unborn babies aborted in America. You say, Preacher, that's over here close to a 10. If I were to mention the sin of homosexuality, you say, Preacher, that's a terrible sin. That's an abomination to God. And, Preacher, that would probably be over here at a 10. Let me stop and say, we ought to hate sin, but we shouldn't hate the sinner. Amen. We ought to love them. But if I were to mention this sin of dishonoring your parents, you say, a lot of people would say, well, Preacher, that's a bad sin, but it certainly isn't as bad as those sins you just mentioned a while ago. But I want to tell you here tonight, folks, in God's eyes, it's just as bad. Turn with me, if you would. Hold your finger there and turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 for just a moment. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. The Bible says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of what, church? Of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And I want you to notice right in the heart of all these other sins that God mentions here, he mentions disobedience to parents. And disobedience to parents is a natural outworking of a heart that's dishonoring to parents. Somewhat one and the same. And I want you to remember here tonight, folks, listen, God hasn't changed his mind about this. God feels the same way about this today as he did when this was penned thousands of years ago. Man wants God to come to man's standard, but God says, no, this is my standard, and my standard has not changed. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Let me add that dishonoring parents is indicative of perilous times in a society before the return of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Here it is again. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such do what, church? Turn away from them. In the last days, the Word of God says, before the return of Jesus Christ, one of the sins that will be prevalent in that day is a dishonoring, disobedience to parents, and that is carried on in society as a total disrespect for authority in society. I believe we live in that day. Turn one other place with me here tonight in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. God here in these three verses reminds children to honor their father and mother and to obey their parents. And he says there's a twofold blessing to that child who obeys these commands. But God has much to say in the Word of God about the judgment and curse of God upon that child who does not. I can remember many times where I've gathered my four boys around the dinner table, and I'd have a devotional on these verses in Ephesians chapter 6, the one we just read a moment ago. And I'd remind them that when you are obeying and honoring your parents, you're under the umbrella blessing of God. And when you disobey and dishonor your parents, you remove yourself out of that umbrella blessing, outside of the blessing of God, to the judgment of God. Folks, I believe, just like they have on a pack of cigarettes on the side, it says, warning. It says, smoking these cigarettes may be hazardous to your health. Listen, I believe every public school ought to have a sign in it somewhere. Every Christian school ought to have a sign in it somewhere that says, warning, disobeying, dishonoring your parents is hazardous to your health. I believe every home ought to have a sign in it somewhere that says, listen, disobeying, dishonoring your parents is hazardous to your health. Is that not what the Word of God says? Is that what the Word of God implies? You may be here tonight and you say, preacher, this all sounds good. But preacher, you don't understand. Preacher, you must not have the parents I have, or you wouldn't be up there talking about giving honor to your parents. Preacher, you don't understand how much my parents have hurt me. Preacher, you don't understand how much my parents may have abused me. Let me stop and say here tonight that the only way that you'll ever be free from the hurt that they have caused you is to give honor back to them. Continuing to nail them to the cross will hurt you more than it will hurt them. It'll hurt you physically. It'll hurt you emotionally. And it'll hurt you spiritually in your life. And if you're a parent, and you haven't got this right with your parents, you haven't got this right with God, I believe it's something that you can easily pass, and your children even giving dishonor even to you. See, the word honor is kind of like a two-sided coin. On one side is the word honor. On the other side is the word respect. The word respect means to look back on. And certainly every mom and dad in this building, every grandparent in this building, you ought to be living the kind of life that your children, your grandparents, can easily look back on and give honor to you. But again, you may say, preacher, if I give respect, if I look back, it hurts. It hurts what my parents have done to me. Then listen close to me here tonight. You've got a choice to make. A very, very important choice to make. But I want to remind you here tonight that the highest form of love is to give honor to someone who doesn't deserve it. You see, God paved the way. Amen. Listen, we deserve nothing. Our goodness is as filthy rags. What we deserve, what you deserve, what I deserve is hell and separation from God for eternity. But God honored us so much. God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die on a cruel cross. God in flesh, Jesus Christ, to die in your place, to die in my place as an atonement for our sin, as a substitute for our sin. He sent His own only begotten Son to die for you and to die for me. The only way to be free from that hurt is to give honor to them. The highest form of love is to give honor to someone who doesn't deserve it. You know, the Bible says, if you say that you love God, if someone says, it says in 1 John, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a liar. Now, don't get mad at me tonight. I'm just sharing the Word of God. If you say that you love God and you hate your mother and father, you hate your brother and sister, then God says the love of God is not in you. Because God's love is a forgiving love. Amen? God's love is a love full of forgiveness and mercy and grace. If you say that I know God's love and you can't forgive your brother and sister, you can't forgive your mother and father, then God says you don't know my love. You know, I think sometimes it's so hard. Sometimes I preached a message on this a couple nights ago about forgiveness. And we don't forgive many times. We don't want to forgive because we don't feel like forgiving, or our pride is lifted up. It all goes back to our pride. But you know what it says in Proverbs? When I talk about this, I often think that before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. We'll never see revival in our churches. We'll never see revival in our families, in our communities, until we become a humble people before God and a humble people before each other, and until we get our relationships right in our own families, in our own homes. Before honor is humility. I remember I was preaching a revival meeting over in Moorhead City, North Carolina. It's been many years ago now. I think it was a Tuesday night. And I was preaching on forgiveness. There was a lady on this side on the end pew, and I noticed she began to visibly be shaken. I could tell that she was crying. At the altar call, she came to the altar, and she was at the altar praying, and she was crying at the altar. After the service, I wanted to talk to her, but she had left the church. I didn't get a chance to talk to her that night. The next night, I was out in the lobby, and she came up to me and she said, "Preacher, can I talk to you a second?" I said, "You sure can." And she came over to me and she said, "Preacher," she said, "last night God broke my heart." She said, "Last night God reminded me that I needed to get things right with my dad." She said, "Preacher, I grew up in a home where my dad abused me. I grew up in a home where my dad and my mom took drugs. I grew up in a home where my dad left me with my mother when I was 3 or 4 years old. My dad lives on the other side of town," she said, "Preacher, and I hadn't talked to him in 20 years because I was so mad and upset over how he treated me." She said, "But preacher, last night God broke my heart. Last night I went home and I picked up the phone. And God told me I needed to call my dad. And preacher, I didn't know what he would say. I didn't know how to respond. I just know that God told me I needed to call him." She said, "Preacher, I called up my dad. Said as soon as he heard my voice and realized it was me, he began to cry on the other end of the phone. She said, I told him, 'Daddy, I just want to ask you if you'd forgive me for how I've treated you all these years. Daddy, I'm so sorry how I treated you.'" She said through his tears, he came back on the phone and said, "Honey, how could you ever forgive me for all the rotten things, horrible things I did to you?" She said, "Preacher, today, it was just the night before, she said, "Today I went out with my dad and we had lunch together and I told him how I could forgive him. I told him about my relationship with Jesus Christ and he could have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of how God had forgiven me of my sin, I could forgive him. And she said, "Preacher, before I left, I hugged my dad around the neck. He hugged me around the neck. We told each other we loved each other." She said, "Preacher, it felt like 1,000 pounds fell off my back." And again, I thought before honor is humility. The first way that we honor our parents is by the life that we live. What kind of life are you living tonight? Are you living a life that's honoring and pleasing to God? Are you living a life of secret sin? Are you living a life of selfishness? Are you living a life where that you are pursuing God in your heart and your life above every other love in your life? Where you're loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Is there sin tonight that you need to confess and repent of before God tonight? Is there unforgiveness in your heart toward a mom or dad, or maybe unforgiveness toward a brother or sister, someone else? Well, the first way that we give honor to our parents is by the life that we live. But let me say secondly, not only do we honor our parents by the life we live, but I believe secondly, we honor our parents by the loads that we lift. By the loads that we lift. And let me talk to especially the young people here tonight for just a minute. I mean, some of you, if I went into your bedroom, it looked like a city dump lookalike contest. And some of you would probably win. Some of you wouldn't pick up your clothes until they invented a vacuum cleaner that would suck up your clothes. And you wouldn't do it then unless you could ride it. You know what I'm talking about. Listen, Mom and Dad work hard all day long. They're doing the best they can to provide for you the best they possibly can. The best lifestyle they can, the best home they can, to feed you the best they can, to clothe you the best they can. And one of the practical ways that you can show honor to your mother and father is by lightening the load around the house. What I'm saying is pick up your clothes, clean up your room, vacuum your carpet, wash the dishes, clean the house, wash the car. I started to say cut the grass. There is no grass. Rake the yard. Okay, got that one right. Now listen, they shouldn't have to beg you to do that. Amen? You ought to do it because you want to do it. You ought to do it because you love them. Because you want to give honor to them. You want to lighten their load and show your love back to them. They shouldn't have to beg you to do it. Listen, you ought to be load lifters for your mom and dad when you're young. But let me say also tonight, we ought to be load lifters for our mom and dads as they get older too. As they get older. You know, Satan is very deceptive. Very deceiving. And while we're fighting this battle out here, whether it's same-sex marriage, whether it's abortion, whether it's a gender confusion, whatever it may be out here, Satan always slips around through the back door something new. And I believe Satan is slipping around through the back door something new in America today. It's really not new, but it may be new to you. It's called euthanasia. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean by euthanasia?" That's a society who comes to the point where they no longer value their precious elderly parents and they feel that they're expendable. You say, "Preacher, that would never happen in the United States of America. I never thought that we would kill millions of unborn babies in America." And listen, folks, you need to wake up. There is an agenda for euthanasia in America. You say, "Preacher, I'd like to lighten the load for my elderly parents, but you don't understand, preacher. Preacher, you don't understand. My mom, she's in her 80s. When I go over to mom's house, now she wears a diaper. And preacher, it's kind of hard. It kind of grosses me out. I have to help her change that diaper. Now, preacher, you don't understand. My mom and dad, they're getting up in years. And when I visit my mom and dad, my dad talks. He kind of drools down the sides of his face. And I have to take a rag and kind of wipe that off. Preacher, you don't understand. I preach, you don't understand, when I get around my elderly parents, they just kind of babble on and on and on. They kind of say the same things over and over again. Preacher, you don't understand. Folks, I think I do understand. When you were just a little baby, they wiped your messy diaper. When you were just a little boy, just a little girl, and you slop it all over yourself, they wiped that mess off of your face. And I know how it is to have someone babble on and on and on and ask the same things over and again. I've had four boys, amen. Listen, one of the ways we honor our parents is as they get in the elder years is we lighten their load too. We lighten their load. Listen, you honor your parents by the life that you live. You honor your parents by the loads that you lift. And lastly, let me say tonight, you honor your parents by the love that you lavish on them. By the love that you lavish on your parents. I remember now, it's been about 36 years ago. Wow. I remember that Debbie had gone to the doctor and she came home and had a big smile on her face and said, "Sam, guess what?" And I knew what. We were going to have our first child. She was excited. I was excited. Over the next 9 months, I went to these classes where I had to learn to breathe all over again. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I'll never forget the day when our first son was born. The doctor was there and he held out that little boy and my heart was racing and I was just praising God and thanking God for this beautiful gift of the son that he had given to us. I remember the next week we had a nursery in our house that we had made. We had a rocking chair in that nursery. I remember every night I'd go in and I'd pick up that little boy, Joshua, and I would put him on my shoulder and I'd sit down in that rocking chair and I'd rock him forwards and rock him backwards and forwards and backwards and I would lavish love all over that little boy. I remember praying and saying, "God, I'd be willing to die for this little boy. I love him so much." You moms and dads, you know what I'm talking about. But I've often thought to myself, how much more should I lavish that same kind of love back to a precious mom and dad? In 1983, I got a phone call I never thought I'd get. Phone call I hoped I'd never get. I was living in Kingsport, Tennessee, and the phone rang, and on the other end of the phone, they let me know that my dad had passed away. I'll never forget that day. I walked out of the kitchen. I went on the back steps on the deck, and I sat down on the deck, and I began to cry. I began to think back to all the special times I'd had with my dad. I thought back to when we had a little farm outside of Lynchburg, Virginia. My dad, in the morning, in the summers, on this little farm, he would get my brother, who's 3 years older than I am, he would get us early in the morning to go out there and dig post holes. I mean, about 6 o'clock in the morning, he'd tell us where he wanted the holes dug, and we'd go out and start digging those post holes early in the morning, and we didn't have that kind of post hole digger on the back of a tractor. We had the kind that had two handles and a metal bar if the ground got too hard. And we'd be down there digging post holes for an hour or so, my brother and I, and in the distance I could see my dad coming down through the field. And he had a folding chair under his arm. And as he got almost to where we were working, he stopped and he unfolded that chair. He turned it around backwards and he sat down in that chair and he told us how to dig those holes. I used to hate that. But you know, I'd give anything that I own if I could see my dad walk down this aisle tonight with a folding chair in his arm and turn around backwards and sit right there and say, "Preach, son, preach, I'm proud of you, preach. Just one more time." My dad used to take me to a little place called Jack's Place. We'd get an RC Cola and some chili beans or hot dog. And we'd go down to the barn and we'd do something my dad calls stump setting. I was just a little tiny fella. I just took a little tiny stump. My dad weighed over 300 pounds. He took a great big old stump. And we'd sit on stumps and my dad would talk to me. Say, "Preacher, it sounds like you had a great dad." I think I did, but I didn't have a perfect dad. I'm the youngest of 8 children and my dad, almost all of my life, was a drunkard. I lived in downtown Lynchburg, Virginia. We lived there, and my dad, I can remember many times getting in fights with my brothers. Once my dad, when I was just a little boy, threw my brother, who's now an evangelist, he was about 16, 17 years old, threw him out of a second-story window in the yard, almost killed him. We went through some very difficult times growing up. But in 1968, my brother, who was a senior at Virginia Tech, he was in the Corps of Cadets, he was an engineer. I had been up to see him on this particular Saturday at a football game, and came home that night. We went to bed. My dad was out drinking that night somewhere. The phone rang about 1 o'clock in the night. When my mother answered the phone, I remember her screaming all over the house. I'll never forget her scream. My brother had been killed in a car accident. I'd seen him last myself just a few hours before. That night, Dr. Jerry Falwell went out and found my dad. My dad got saved. He came to Christ. And he really came to Christ. I saw a change in his life. You know, when you come to Christ, there ought to be a difference in your life. And I saw a change in his life. It wasn't but a few weeks later that God began to work in my heart. And I began to think to myself, what if I'd been in that car with my brother? Where would I be? Would I be in heaven or would I be in hell? And I'd learned some verses in Vacation Bible School that I was made to go to. One of them was, life is like a vapor, it appears for a short time, then vanisheth away. And I thought, yes, it does. I saw my brother's life vanish away right in front of me. And through that, God brought me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and I thank God for that. And I was able to spend some time with my dad in some years before I went to college, a few years on this little farm I mentioned a while ago. And folks, I choose to remember the good years. And I began to realize that the only people that can expect perfect parents are perfect children. And I don't think we got any here tonight. My dad left my mom all by herself. When he died, she was up in Richmond, Virginia. She moved up there with my sister who was nearby. I'll never forget that I was going to preach a revival meeting up near Richmond, Virginia, and I thought I'd stop by and see my mom and have supper with her and bless her. Actually, she was going to bless me because I knew she was going to fix me fried chicken, mashed potatoes, the homemade kind, not the fake kind, and my favorite dessert, pecan pie with a big old hunk of vanilla ice cream on it. I mean, that's good stuff, amen. And sure enough, I stopped by and had supper with Mom, and she fixed me a wonderful meal. And I sat there at night and I thought, how can I show her how much I love her? I said, Mom, I'm doing a revival meeting just over here about an hour from here, and would you like to go with me? And you can stay with me in the motel and we'll have a good time together. And I thought, this was time we could spend. I could just show her how much I loved her. She said, oh yeah, I'd love to go. I said, Mom, you can go on one condition. She said, what is that? I said, if we get in that church and the preacher asks you to say anything, then you promise me you won't call me Sammy and I'll let you go. She said, I promise I won't do that. Well, Sunday had a great service. Monday night had a wonderful service. Preacher looked over my mom. She was sitting right over here and said, Miss Wood, it's so good to have you tonight. If you'd like to say anything. And she stood up and she looked at everybody. She said, I just want to tell you, I'm so proud of Sammy. And I just shook my head. A few years later, she turned 80 years old, and we had decided to have a 80th birthday party for her. All my brothers and everybody was going to go up and give honor to her. And something came up, and they changed the date of the party, and I had a conflict with preaching, and I couldn't go. So the next week, I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina at the time. I got our car and our four sons and Deb, and we went up Interstate 95 up to Richmond, Virginia, and we decided we'd spend a few days with my mom just to celebrate her birthday and just lavish love and show her how much we loved her. And we spent several days, took her out to eat, did a lot of fun things with her and just tried to love her the best we could. But the time came, as it always does, when you have to leave. And I remember we were standing in the little foyer of her apartment and Debbie hugged her around the neck and she went outside and sat in the car. My four sons hugged their grandmother around the neck and told her how much they loved her, and they went outside and they sat in the car. And I was left standing in that little foyer all by myself with my mom. And I knew she was going to do something she always does before I leave. I knew she was going to cry. And most of the time I could prepare myself for that pretty good, but that day when my mom cried, I cried. Because the Holy Spirit got all over me and said, you know, that's a precious little lady right there. All those years, 8 children, working at the Chapstick Company, getting up on Sunday mornings and fixing breakfast and walking all of y'all across town to church to make sure you was in church, having lunch on the table when you got home because Dad demanded that you have it even though he didn't go. Holy Spirit got hold of me and said, you know, that's a precious little lady right there. And I said, God, you're so right. She's so precious. I put my arms around her and I hugged her. And I told her how much I loved her. And she whispered something in my ear that day that I'll never, ever forget. She said, Sammy, she said, I know how much you love me. I thought, praise God. I didn't have to wonder if she knew how much I loved her. She said, Sammy, I know how much you love me. I wonder tonight if you've lavished so much love on your mom and dad that they know how much you love them. It didn't take a lot of time to pick up the phone and call them every once in a while and say, Mom, Dad, I love you so much. I want to tell you how special you are to me. It didn't take a lot of time to write a little card and tell them some special memory you had growing up and send it to them. And when they get that card, they won't throw it in the trash. Listen, they'll put it on the refrigerator and put a magnet on it so they can read it over and over again. It's an old saying, dead noses smell no roses. My dad and mom are in heaven now. I wish I could tell them one more time. Many of you here tonight have that opportunity. Some of you here tonight, your parents are in glory and just like mine. But you have a wonderful opportunity tonight to live a life that's honoring and pleasing to your parents. You have a wonderful opportunity to lighten the load for your parents and your grandparents. You have a wonderful opportunity to lavish love on your parents. Honor your father and your mother.